Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
We bless God for another morning, and we know that God is in our midst and God is going to speak to us today. Amen. Amen. Can we open to the book of Hebrews chapter 2? Hebrews the chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. If you could give the second microphone to anybody who will be available to read, I'll be very glad. So we could start with our anchor scriptures this morning.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Verse 4. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Amen.
Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 5.
Yeah.
Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Amen.
Last one, Acts chapter 6, verse 7 to 8.
Acts chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you welcome somebody sitting to your right or left? Tell the person, welcome to church. Is that all you can do? Yes, do welcome the person to church. All right, so today we bless God for another Sunday. We want to quickly go into what we are doing. We are still on Faith Advance as our sub-series. Our major theme for the year is atmospheric setting for mantle of what? Changing seasons. And the first sub-series we are taking under this theme is Faith Advanced. Faith Advanced. So what we are doing now is an advanced form of or advanced level or knowledge in the faith business. And for the past weeks, we've been looking at some very key things about faith. I hope we've been blessed. We spoke about the spirit of faith. We spoke about the gift of faith. And we looked at the spirit of faith versus the gift of faith. Now, if I teach you about faith and certain key things are not being exposed to you, it will not be to your blessing. I said that this year, God is up to leading us into influence and prosperity. And one of the things that is very crucial for such a thing to manifest in our life is what I'm going to talk about, which is also a sub, which is also under the concept of faith. So today we are going to look at miracles, signs, and wonders. Tell your friend, miracles, signs, and wonders. I know this topic is a very favorite topic of many Christians. People always want to have miracle. People always talk about miracle. And today we are going to study about miracles. Hallelujah. Now, to start with, we want to quickly zoom into our keynote concept today. And I want to use our second reading to do the keynote. Galatians chapter 3 verse 5. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 5, we found out that Apostle Paul was very concerned about something that was going on. Galatians chapter 3 verse 5. in the church of Galatians. In fact, the introduction of this very chapter is very hot. Can you help me? He said, Galatians chapter 3 verse 1 said, "Oh, ye foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Help me read. I would prefer you helping me to.
Galatians chapter 3.
Yeah, verse 5.
Oh, verse 5.
Chapter 1, verse 1. Let's start from verse 1.
"Oh, foolish Galatians,
mm-hmm.
who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth,
mm-hmm.
before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?"
Let's go to the verse 2.
"This only I want to learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?"
So he started. First thing, did you receive the Spirit? That is the move of God. Did you receive it by the works of law or by faith? Let's move on.
"Are you so foolish?
Mm-hmm.
Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?"
So now you started in the Spirit and now you want to use the flesh to define the scope of workings in the kingdom. It was a very big worry to Apostle Paul. That's not my topic for today. I want to start talking about that. We will not close. So let's get to the next verse. Verse 3.
Verse 4. "Have you suffered so many things in vain?
Mm-hmm.
If indeed it was in vain.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, he mm-hmm. who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you,
uh-huh.
does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?"
Now, listen to this very well. He said, "He that supplies the Spirit and the workings of miracles to you." He was talking about God. Did he do it by heart? Yes, by heart. Are you with me? What is the Bible say? You have it, so read.
"By the works of the law."
By the works of the law or by the supply of what? My key point over here is, how do the supply of the Spirit and the working of miracles comes to the believer? This keynote is saying over here that, or this scripture makes us understand that miracles are being ministered to the believer on the basis of faith. So if we teach you faith, one of the things that we need to help you to understand is the working of miracles. Because one of the things that faith attracts, one of the things that faith guarantees you is miracle. According to Galatians chapter 3 verse 5. He said, "Did you receive the supply of the Spirit from God by the works of the law or by the supply of what? Faith." Did you receive the workings of the miracles? So it means that miracles cannot be done by the arms of flesh. Miracles are only predicted or are able to come to man on the verdict of what? Faith. So if we indeed expose ourselves to the faith concept, then in our advanced study about faith, there are certain key things we have to look. And number one is what? The supply of the Spirit, which we will talk about that later, and then the workings of what? Miracles. So today we are going to look at the workings of what? Miracles. And when we are done with the workings of miracles, we will look at the concept of the supply of the Spirit. That is why today we are going to look at miracles, signs, and wonders. Are you with me? So if we want to teach you miracles, we have to teach you the basics of faith first before we teach you miracles. So if you are being exposed to miracles without having the full understanding of the concept of faith and how faith works, it will be to your disadvantage. Because according to this presentation here, the work of faith must be done first before miracles and the supply of the Spirit will be exposed to you. In other words, God cannot in any way perform miracles or supply miracles to you without faith being established in you. So that is why we are going to look at the concept of faith today. Hallelujah. Our first reading said that was talking about the kind of judgment that will come upon us if we trivialize the gospel. And he was telling us that those who brought the gospel to us were able to bring the gospel with us, and God bear witness to their gospel through what? Miracles, signs, and what? Wonders. Another reason why I think that we need to study the concept of miracle, though it is something that is swallowed up by faith or is under faith, another reason why I think we need to study miracles, signs, and wonders is because it is the only thing that bear witness that indeed we are the carriers of the gospel. Hallelujah. You didn't read it with me. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4. Read it. Let's read it. Open your Bible. Let's read it. Follow me. We are heading somewhere. So you follow. Yes, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4.
Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4.
Yeah.
God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders.
God also bearing witness both with what? Signs and what? Wonders. And then what?
With various miracles.
With various what? Miracles. So we're going to look at various miracles today. Or in our learning of miracles, you're going to know the various miracles. Hallelujah. So you find out that the people whom God sent to bear witness to the gospel had the guarantee that God was with them through what? Signs, wonders, and what? Various miracles. If our life will speak about the gospel, if we can be able to take the gospel to the world, take it to our friends, take it to our lecture hall, one of the things that we can be assured, we need to be assured of, is that miracles, signs, and wonders will always be there to certify what we have done. In the book of John chapter 3 verse 1, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said to him that nobody can perform this kind of miracles except God be with that person, and therefore you are the teacher of the word. Miracles, signs, and wonders are very essential to our practice of faith. However, we can't teach you miracles, signs, and wonders without first of all not laying out the faith concept, because it is through faith that miracles are being supplied. Hallelujah. So our third reading, I want to be explaining the anchor scriptures of, because I normally don't talk about them, but I want to tell you why I give those anchor scriptures. That is, when you say anchor, means that that is upon it that we are doing that teaching. So you find out that in Acts chapter 6 verse 7 and 8, they said, and Stephen, full of what the spirit did and faith did what? Great what? Oh, come on, we are already, yes.
Stephen, who was a man full of grace and supernatural power, performed many astonishing signs and wonders.
Performed many astonishing signs and what? Wonders. Can we pray? Father, we thank you. As we come to study about miracles, signs, and wonders, we pray that we will live here with miracles. We pray that we will live here with miracles. May our life be swallowed up with your miracles, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's begin. In our previous message, we found out that with the gift of faith, one of the reasons why God guarantees us the gift of faith is for extraordinary odd things. Extraordinary odd things of God. And we understood that these extraordinary things are things that are beyond the ordinary. So anything that is beyond the ordinary is obviously miracle. So the gift of faith is actually released so that there could be what? Miracles. Hallelujah. So we want to look at what these miracles are. I want to give you some definition of what miracle is. There's a definition by Apostle Joseph Mentor, our father in the Lord, which I love it very well. And in fact, what I'm going to talk about today is a message he preached called Working of Miracles. So when you finish, you can go and listen to it. It's the same thing. That is my point of reference. So I've told you. Apostle Joseph Minter defined miracles as a work wrought by divine power for divine purpose by means beyond human power. First. So a work that is done by divine power for a divine purpose which is beyond human power is what we call miracle. He gave a second definition of miracle as this. The second definition he gave is that a temporary interruption of time by eternity, or when eternity invades time, is called miracle. So when eternity interrupts the activities of time, whatever that interruption brings out is called what? Miracle. Are you following? Okay. We are taking it slow because I want you to understand. I know you want there. You get there. Hallelujah. And I have also started to love the definitions of Webster Dictionary. And this is what Webster Dictionary said about miracle. It said, an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. So when divine intercept or intervene in human affairs, whatever comes out of that, we call it what? Miracle. Hallelujah. But I think the most explainable definition, which I like very well, is when eternity invades time, when the eternity realm invades time, miracle what happens. Hallelujah. So that is the definition of what miracle. Hallelujah. Now we have to understand how miracles happen in this earth realm. So having given you the definition, now let's zoom into the whole concept of miracle. Now follow me. I want you to really understand what we are doing today for the benefit of how to walk in miracles. I know miracles have been one of the things that have been commonly spoken about in the body of Christ. And in fact, I can say that in our generation, 99.9% of programs that are organized bear something about miracles. The truth of the matter is that if you take away miracles from the Bible has no power anymore. Every book of the Bible and almost every chapter of the Bible has a record of miracle, has a record of eternity invading time. So in other words, miracle is something that is commonly associated with the life of believers, or it's something that God is interested in, to the extent that he identifies himself as the miracle working out God. Another name for God that we know him is that we call him what? The miracle what? Working God. It tells you that miracle is very essential. But the issue is that how is the concept being ministered to the average individual? Though we cry every day that we want miracle, the question is, do we even know when we receive it? And number two, do we even receive it? Hallelujah. So now, first of all, let's lay the foundation. That's why I said you follow me, because we're going to take it slowly. Let's first of all understand how it all begins. Number one, miracle is also being as a result of the relationship between the time realm and the eternity realm. In the eternity realm, everything is possible. Nothing is impossible in the eternity realm. Anything can happen at any time in the eternity realm. But when we come to the time realm where man has authority over, one of the things that is clear is that God designed time realm, subjected it to what we call processes, procedures, and protocol. God designed this earth realm to be subjected to what we called processes, procedures, and what? Protocol. And for these three elements to work in harmony and to synchronize to make this earth realm as how God wants to do it, God instituted what we call laws. Somebody say laws. One of the things that human beings don't want to hear in their ears is laws. So, time realm is governed by many forms of laws of God to make sure that processes, procedures, and protocols are working in harmony to bring forth what God wants to see. Are you following? Are you following? We are journeying to miracle. Okay. Therefore, laws are set by God to govern. Now, the reason why these protocols, processes, and procedures are in place is to help humanity to live a life that God has designed for them. Now, there is something between eternity, your eternity destiny, right, and your time destiny. I follow why there's processes and protocols. Now, this is it. God has already created you. Are you listening to me? Everything about you is done in the spirit realm. There is no any change that God is going to do about you. God, you have finished product placed as a seed in your mother's womb to work through time and process. And that is what we call eternity or destiny, or destiny in eternity. Now, when you are born into time, you must be able to live that destiny. So God's destiny, when we talk of destiny, means destination, where you should reach. So in God's design, he designed that I should be able to walk from this distance in terms of the life I live. That's why life is a way. We live a way of life. I hope you understand, because it's a journey. I should be able to walk from this point to that point. For me to be able to move from this point to that point, which is the destiny that God has already created for me, I must go through some processes, some procedures, and some what? Protocols. For me to be able to know how to put all these three things together, God set in what we call laws to help me, or to help the human life and govern the human life, to be able to put these three things in harmony to reach where God wants you to reach. Are you following? Are you following? So the time realm is designed such that what has already been done in heaven will go through processes to come into reality in earth, on this earth. Let's get a typical example. You know that if you want to cook or prepare food, you already prepare the food in your head. Are you with me? You don't just get up and no. You first of all ask, what do I want to eat? Is that not it? Then you decide what you want to eat and how what you want to eat should be what? Done before you start to work. That is how God created you. So the food has already been prepared in the mind. Complete work. It has already been done. The picture is already painted. But when it comes to how to make it a reality, it goes through what? Processes, right? It goes through procedures and certain protocols are observed to make that reality. That is how it is designed. So the eternity realm has everything finished work. There is nothing you can add to it. You can't say that you want to prepare benku and okra soup and you finish and you said, okay, let me add food to it. No. The moment you start work, you have to finish that benku and okra soup. Is that not it? Even if you want to do fufu, you finish that one first. So there's nothing you can change about what you have already completed in the mind. So God that in eternity has already finished you and placed you as a seed in your mother's womb to be born into time, and then whatever you will become is subjected to processes, protocols, and procedures. And for these three things to work in harmony, there must be certain laws to govern them to make sure that they are working according to pattern. That is why God set laws. So number one, laws are set to govern the human life, number one. Number two, to govern the human activities. And number three, to govern how we function on this earth system. Since God designed these laws, it is such that whoever lives by these laws will live to bring forth what God wants them to do, whether the person is born again or not born again. The only difference is that whatever the person will do, if the person is not born again, will not bring glory to God, or will not be down towards achieving kingdom purposes, so it will be rejected. God designed people, okay, I don't want to mention him, but let's go into the secular music. Do you know that people who sing in the secular world were not given the talent by the devil? Do you know they were finished product in the mind of God? Any artist you can think about right now, it doesn't matter how they behave, how they look, whatever they do, God created them finished product as people who will be minstrels. The devil only hijacked the project and used it for his own purpose. You can never be anything different from what God has created you to be. Take it from me. The struggles of many people is they are trying to be a different product that they were not already meant to be. But the sad issue is that you can become that product either in the way of God or in the way of what? The world. So the laws were set in place. Hallelujah. Are you following? Now, these same laws also, it's designed to govern the human life. It's also set in place to make sure that creation and all the elements of the time realm are able to come into alignment to help human life. So there is a law that governs the sun. You will get that. I don't want to jump. Now this is what happens. These laws are designed to follow protocols, procedures to make them work. Now when God suspend these laws or abolish these laws or speed up these laws or set aside these laws to do something in the life of a person or humanity, that is what we call miracle. So miracle is when God said, no, let these laws be suspended for the sake of this person, or for the sake of this to happen. Now, as we go on, you will find out that you know the laws and you understand how miracles is very important. Can I set an example? Okay. if I said it, I'm jumping the course outline. So let's follow. I hope you understand now. So these laws are designed to work so that certain patterns should be followed. But when God set them aside, or God abolish it, or God speed it up for the sake of you, that act is called miracle. So miracle simply means God setting aside the laws that are designed to carve in this time realm for the sake of you. And it is done temporarily. It's not permanent. It's something that's not temporary. So it means that God never designed us to live on miracles. Miracles only come in to aid you to be able to achieve something. Now, in the course of this study, you understand why God performed miracles. God does not perform miracles to entertain you. God does not perform miracles to entertain you. We have really mishandled and misused many of these divine concepts, so we are not even benefiting from them anymore. Now, when we go to church and we see a miracle, we are happy and we are entertained. That is the biggest deception. If I can be very clear with you, one of the things that God is very reluctant to do in this world is to what? Step into what? Time. Without being invited. In fact, it is not easy for God to perform a miracle, in quote, because God respects rules and laws. So the moment God set in rules and laws to carve in this time realm, he's very reluctant to what? To set it aside, or even to what? To speed it up. If God is not reluctant, I believe that Jesus will be born the day that the angel said to Mary that this seed has entered into your womb. I think in the next few hours, Jesus could have been born and you'll be perfect, right? Was that suspended because he was the Son of God? So I want to let you know that miracle is not something that is for fun. God is very reluctant to suspend or to set aside or to hold back the laws that he has set to govern this earth realm. So anytime God stepping to do that, it means it's necessary. So our life is not designed to live on miracles, which means eternity invading time consistently. No. Our life is designed to live by certain laws. But whenever God comes in and suspend or speed up or do something to this law for the sake of you, that becomes what? Miracle. Hallelujah. And we need this. We need it. Sometimes the procedures, the protocols, the processes are such that it's so cumbersome that we need something to speed up things. That's why technology has come to make things easier for us. Imagine it was the olden days that I have to come from Kasua to preach at church today. I should have been setting off around yesterday, early in the morning. Because I'll be doing a lot of walking. Is that not it? And if I'm blessed to have a horse, maybe I'll set off as early as 1 a.m. so I can get here by 8. But thank God for technology. Speed up process. So that we could achieve a purpose. Hallelujah. So, what are some of these laws? Or what are these laws? We have to look at these forms of laws. See, you have to understand these things. You know, many people think that God does not respect laws. See, God is not careless. So, when we understand these laws, we can appreciate miracles. So, first of all, let's look at these laws so that we can appreciate miracles. I want to let you know the laws so you can learn to appreciate miracles. Number one, we have the physical law. One of the physical laws is what we call the laws of gravity. God designed that whatever goes up must what? Whatever goes up must what? If you like, jump. If anybody here, you have faith, you just go and jump. You see that there are laws that are set to govern this earth realm. Physical laws. God set these physical laws that when things goes up, they are able to what? Gravitate back to the earth. So what is keeping this building standing is because of the law of gravity acting on it. If there's no gravity, one day you see that this thing, that the roof will be lifted and it's gone. So gravity, one of the laws is physical laws, gravity. But do you know that God broke this law in the book of Acts chapter 1? ascension. That is miracle. So when the disciples saw Jesus being lifted up, they said, according to the laws of gravity, nobody goes up without coming down, but this man is going up. So God suspended that law at that moment. We have something we call levitation. Do you know levitation? That is a miracle. God suspending the law of gravity for a temporary time so that something can happen. So number one, physical laws. Number two, ordinances. Second type of law or form of law is what we call ordinances. Ordinances are instructions God gave to physical creation and planetary bodies. So, one of the ordinances of God is God telling the sea the extent to which it can come. It's an ordinance. Now, these laws are very critical that if you don't understand them, they can punish you. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 33. Can you read for me? Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 33.
Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 33.
Yeah.
But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days.
Listen.
Says the Lord.
Uh-huh.
I will put my law in their minds.
Okay.
And write it on their hearts.
Okay.
And I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Continue.
No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord.
Actually, it's Job 38, 33. Sorry. Job 38, 33. I want to show you something by ordinances. Are you following? Okay,
Job 38, 33.
Yeah.
Do you know the ordinances of the heavens?
Do you know the ordinances of what? The heavens. Continue.
Can you set their dominion over the earth?
Can you set their dominion over the earth? So when we talk about ordinances, we are talking about the instructions that God has given to creation or planetary bodies to be able to observe them for the cause of humanity. So there is an ordinance that tells the sun when to rise and when to set. That's an ordinance. There is an ordinance that tells the moon when to appear. The Bible said, do you know these ordinances? Now, one thing you know, that these ordinances were given to help man understand the concept of seasons and times. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. Help you. So you think that everything happens? No. There are systems designed to govern this earth realm. And if we don't understand it, we would suffer for it. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22.
Yeah. As long as the world exists, there will be a time for planting and a time for harvest.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be cold and heat.
So you see these seasons, right? Now let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 1 rather. Let's look at why God gave the sun, the moon. Let's follow. Genesis chapter 1. I'm not ready to rush this at all. Verse 14. Let's read. Chapter 1 verse 14.
Then God commanded,
uh-huh,
let light appear in the sky to separate day from night.
You read, remember that in Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 said, as long as this earth remain, seed time, harvest time, cold, winter, all the eight seasons remains, right? Now he's talking about, so what brought about this season? Let's read it.
Let light appear in the sky.
Let light appear in the sky.
To separate day from night.
To separate day from what? Night. This is the sun.
And to show the time when
days. And to do what?
Show the time when days, years, and religious festivals begin.
Can you read King James Version? Which version is that?
Good news.
Good news. I don't use good news. Please. Give me King James.
And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night.
To divide the day from the night.
And let them be for signs.
For signs.
And for seasons.
For seasons.
And for days.
And for days.
And years.
And years. So the ordinances God gave to the light is that because you have been there, you must make sure that you are able to help humanity to know the days, the years, the months, and the season. So Job was asked, do you know the ordinances of heavens? Do you know the instructions God has given to the sun that you can be able to tell the sun to work something on your behalf? Do you know the ordinances of heaven that God has given unto the stars that you can be able to engage the stars to do something for you? When David said that the sun shall not smite you by day, he was talking about a depth thing that you will understand. Ordinances. Instructions God has given to devilly creations or creatures on this earth realm to observe. So God will never break any. See, the sun is there to tell you that it's a raining season. So if you refuse to take an umbrella in the rainy season, the rain is come, God will not stop it because of you. Yeah, and you should know the ordinances. It has been given to help you to live a life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36. We are still talking about ordinances, the second law God gave to govern the earth. Jeremiah 31, 35.
Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name.
Yet,
if
continue.
If those ordinances depart from me, from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease.
Let's read it then. The Lord is telling us, I gave the ordinances to the star, the moon, the sea, and the sun. The day that these ordinances will disappear means that the day that I will abolish these laws, every seed on this earth is gone. So actually, the tribulation that is going to happen is when God started withdrawing the ordinances. When you see the moon falling, it means that the ordinances of the moon, the instruction given to the moon has been withdrawn. So God gave ordinances. And ordinances are instructions given to all planetary bodies and creation to observe, to make life meaningful to man. Third rule. Let's move on. I hope you understand this concept while we are looking at the laws. I said for us to appreciate, for God to suspend, for God to stop the sun from moving on in the period of Joshua, when Joshua lifted and said that stand still, and the moon should also stand still till the war is over, it should tell you that it was not easy for God. That is why I suspect that February has some of the days missing. Joshua is responsible for that. Because yes, he held the sun and the moon to still, so it means that a particular day was missing. Don't take miracle for granted. Because God went through a lot to put laws in place to help this earth move in secret, like move in harmony. So for God to invade time and set the laws aside to do something for you, appreciate it. That law. The law of gestation. The law of gestation. Let me read the book of Mark chapter 4 verse 26. Before we read, let's hold on. The law of gestation is really explain the whole concept of what happens in the time period. The law of gestation simply means everything in this earth realm is subjected to process and procedures. Nothing happened instantly in this earth realm. That is the law of gestation. If it happens instantly, it's a miracle. Let's read Mark chapter 4 verse 26. King James.
Mark chapter 4 verse 26. And he said,
yeah,
the kingdom of God is as if a man should
listen. He said, for the kingdom of God is as if a man
should scatter seed on the ground.
Scatter seed on the ground.
And should sleep by night.
And sleep by night.
And rise by day.
And rise by day.
And the seed should sprout and grow.
See how the seed grows. Said the seed will sprout and what? And grow. Now, how does it grow?
He himself does not know how.
Okay.
For the earth yields crops by itself.
Uh-huh.
First, the blade.
What is the first that comes? The blade. So before it yields a crop, the first thing that comes out is what? The blade. Next one is what?
Then the head.
The head. Uh-huh.
After that, the full grain.
The full head. Grain. And
in,
then what?
In the head.
Uh-huh.
But when the grain ripens.
Yes.
Immediately, he puts in the sickle.
Let's end it there. God was using this to explain the concept of gestation. That anything that happens in this time realm is subjected to what? Processes and what? Procedures. Nothing happening instantly. And this is one of the things that, let me make it clear to you. Anybody who does not respect this law pays for it. God placed in this law to make man understand that everything works with time. Everything what? Works with time. So, anything that we want to happen instantly in this time realm will not survive. Read that in the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verse 6 to 11. The tree that grew overnight died in the day. When Jonah, after prophesying about the destruction of Nineveh, and God spared the people of Nineveh, and he was complaining, and the sun was scorching him, the Bible said God allowed a tree to grow overnight to cover out Jonah. And in the close of the day, that tree died. Why? Because the system of this earth is governed by the law of what? Gestation. Anything that must grow in this earth realm or survive in this earth realm must go through process. Whatever sick process and procedure will not survive the time realm. Be very careful when you are trying to skip processes and procedures of your life. You will not survive. You see, this rush to be seen, this rush to be known, this, see, you will not survive. If you see longevity in a life of a person, ask, how long did it take the person to get there? The law of gestation is designed such a way that anything that will survive in this earth must go through some process. If you come instantly, you will die instantly. Don't skip process. Because and this law, it applies to everybody, whether you are born again or not. So anytime God will suspend this law, are you listening to me? To do something for you, that is what we call miracle. I don't know if you are following what I'm trying to say. I hope you are appreciating miracles now. Yeah, so miracles are not easy things for God. Number 5. Are you sure? Number 4, the law of deterioration. Everything in this realm by time will deteriorate and pass. Stop. See, if we understand these laws, our life will be very simple. That's why the Bible said the way of a transgressor is very hard. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10 and 11. I want to quickly rush through this. Hebrews chapter 1.
Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10.
Uh-huh.
You, the Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And the heavens are the work of your hands.
Okay.
They will perish, but you remain.
They will what?
Perish.
But you what?
Remain.
Continue.
And they will all grow old like a garment.
They will all grow hot
like a garment.
So please, appreciate it. That nothing in this time realm is designed to be the same. It's subject to the law of what? Deterioration. Everything will grow hot, old, including you. Your body, it will grow old. See, don't fight it. It is now the law, the system has been designed. You can use all kinds of anti-aging cream, no matter what, you still have wrinkles. This law helps man to understand when to do what and when not to do what. Since you know that you are subjected to growing old and deteriorate, when you have the strength, you do it now. Because a time is coming. So in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it said, remember your creator now. In the days of what? Your youth. What's the evil day of? The evil day is talking about is your day of your old age. Where you can do virtually nothing. People normally think that, oh, there is more time. My brother, my sister, there is no more time. This earth realm is designed and subjected to the law of deterioration. It's just a matter of time. The things you used to do, you can't do them anymore. You think your grandfather, you know the things he used to carry when he was your age? Recently, when my mom came around and she wanted to lift something and she couldn't, and I watched and I shook my head. I said, hey, life. My mother, who can just lift a basket full of cassava and just put it on your head? Easily. And it is, you are gone. Couldn't lift a bucket full of water. She was complaining her waist. Please, there is time. There's law called the law of deterioration. Very soon, it will set in. So the things you need to do now, do them now. Because when that law set in, so when you see people like Moses, people like Caleb, at the age of 80 years, able to draw sword and fight, that is miracle. Because the law of deterioration was suspended for them. Let's move on. Number five. Actually, there are six laws. I think I'll give you five. If I give you all, you're not going to do a research, so you're going to find the rest. The last one we'll talk about as the laws God set in place to work, which is very important, is the law of works. Somebody say the law of works. The law of works. The law of what? Works. Okay. I also call this law the law of inertia. Can you help me define the Newton's first law? Everything is at rest until what? External force is what? Exerted on it. The law of works says that nothing works in this earth realm until man works it. Nothing works in this earth realm until man works it. So if you refuse to work, nothing will work for you. And God is reluctant to suspend this law. So you will die poor if you refuse to work. It is not God's fault. Anything you want to see becoming a reality, you work towards it. God will never, ever step into time realm to do what you have to do for you. He will never do that. Don't think that you gather a grain of rice, put it there and say, Lord, I command it to be cooked. It will not cook. It will not cook. You better look for fire. God will not do that for you. You see, this is some of the things that many Christians have abused because they don't know that these laws, God is reluctant to suspend them. These laws are from God. So, you just say, oh, I'm believing God. You are believing what? By faith. What which kind of faith is that? Could you believe that somebody tried to use water to drive his car? Say, by faith, I pour water. This is the concept that most times people are trying to not to get it wrong. There is a law called the law of work. Simply put, if you don't exert pressure, the thing will be there constantly. The law of inertia, Newton's first law. Nothing moves until external force. So if you don't study, you will fail. Now, how can the Holy Spirit remember an empty head? He didn't say you know. He said he will cause you to remember. So what is there? That's why I said I hate Christians who don't like learning. I don't like them. In fact, if you don't like books, you're not my friend. You are a disgrace to humanity. God will not open your head and put you have to read, and in that reading, God will breathe on it. It is God who said that law. So if you see certain things happening when you didn't do it, that is what we call it, a miracle. So hardly will God give you things you didn't work for. For God to give you things you didn't work for means that you have proven that you are a worker. Oh, Jesus. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, the Bible said that after God has created everything, God didn't cause the herbs, the plants, and everything he has created to come out. He didn't send rain because there was no man to till the ground. Let me tell you this. There is a difference between work and punishment. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam to labor. There is reward in what? God never created Adam to sleep in the garden. He told him to what? Keep it. Work. Labor and punishment are not the same. God never caused the ground to what? Bring forth plant because man was not there to what? Till it. So before the fall of man, there was work. And after the fall of man, there is what? Work. If you don't do it, it will go against you. So let's look at a story that God shared in the book of Proverbs. Very sad story. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 and 31. Listen to it. When he was teaching us about the life of an ant, God gave a story. Let's read it. Let's see what Solomon said. Watch.
Proverbs 24, 30. I went by the field of the lazy man.
I went by the field of a lazy man.
And by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding.
By the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding that there is a law called law of what? Work.
And there it was. All overgrown with thorns.
All overgrown with what? Thorns. Many people's lives are grown with thorns. Continue.
Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it,
I considered it well.
I looked on it and received instruction.
It's Solomon. Continue.
A little sleep.
A little slumber.
A little folding of the hands.
To rest.
So shall your heart poverty come.
This is prophecy. See, it doesn't matter you are born again. Continue. Finish it for me.
Like a prowler.
Uh-huh.
And your need like an armed man.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
A little sleep. Oh, I will study in the evening. Oh, don't worry. I'm done. Son, I'll be filling exams. Don't come here. See, if you feel, don't come and say, Pastor, pray for me. It's your own laziness. You disregard a law called the law of works. And you expect it to work for you. This is scripture saying it. It says, so shall your heart, poverty come upon you. It will take you like a surprise. I pray for you. That we will have appreciation for these laws. So that the world will stop making mockery of us. The reason why it looks like the life of the Christian is a mockery now. Is because we have no respect and regard for the laws of God. And we think miracle will do everything for us. My brother, my sister, God is reluctant to what? Suspend these laws. And you only do it when it is necessary. So you better do what you need to do. You wake up and you sleep like there's nothing at stake. Some people cannot sit on their buttocks for even 2 hours to do something meaningful for themselves. After that, they'll blame God. Scriptures cannot be broken. Do you know how many hours I spend in the Word of God? Do the number of messages I listen to in a week? Do the number of books I've read and still read? Sister came to my house just recently. He saw some small books there. He said, "Hey," I said, "Those books over there, I've lost over 40 and I've read everything. Those books, if you count, wouldn't it be up to 100? At least I know that Anya should have read not less than 150 hard copy books, Christian literature books. Is here." You think that I come here, whatever I'm saying is everything is about Holy Ghost. You hear the nonsense I'll tell you. Oh, pastor can preach. It's not only by grace. Paul said, I work harder, even though I have the grace at work, I work harder than all. Because there's a law called the law of works. I can't wake up a day without doing something meaningful to increase in knowledge in my field of work. Somebody is here, I want to be a businessman, I want to be a billionaire. What have you done so far? You sleep like somebody who has nothing at stake and want to be a billionaire. My sister, my brother, this is an advice a man of God gave me. He said, the world is ruled by tired men. The world is ruled by tired men. So God is reluctant to suspend the law of works because of you. A little folly, a little sleep, a little slumber. So shall your poverty. So you see, sometimes it's not the devil. That's why we pray, and the devil, because he has no, God has already dealt with the devil. You are dealing with yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoever refuses to work has activated the law of you have no right to eat. You think I was the one who said it? Proverbs 14:23. There's nothing like gain for those who don't want to work. See, anything you want to receive in this world, work, you have to work it. That is the law. So I tell you, you will never see the power of God in your life if you refuse to work. And I've not seen God calling a lazy man to do something for him before. In the Bible, I've said none of them. God doesn't like lazy men. You must have something to do for God to call you. Everybody God called was busy doing something. Everybody God called was busy with something. Live there and everything. This is where people come to criticize that we pray too much. We know the prayer is not good though. But that's why you have to have the balance. You don't use your work period to pray. When you know that at that time you need to work. You can pray 24 hours a day. You will be broke. Because prayer does not bring, it does not yield. There is a law called the law of works. Let's read it.
Proverbs 14:23. If you work hard at what you do, great abundance will come to you.
When you work what?
Hard.
Read it. When you do what?
If you work hard at what you do.
You work hard at what you do, what will happen?
Great abundance will come to you.
If you don't work hard, what happens? There's no abundance.
But merely.
Continue.
But merely talking about getting rich while living to only pursue your pleasures brings you face to face with poverty.
This is when Jesus said, they that had an ear, let them do what? Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the heart. So be then be talking about what you want to become in life. You will never see it. Oh, I want to be a medical doctor. Oh, I want to be this. The Bible says that when you work hard, abundance will come to you. But if you just merely talk about it, poverty will embrace you. I pray for you. May you be exempted from poverty. Today, when you go work hard. So there's a law of works. Because people are refusing to obey this, so that's why they're using illegalities to make gains. Any gain that is not done out of work. Somebody made a statement that even prostitution is work. Hey, oh God. Is that true? Work. Do decent works, I beg you. Decent ones. So these are all the laws that God put in place. Various forms of laws that God put in place to make sure that this earth, the procedures, the protocols, are working in harmony to make life meaningful for man, to lead you to the destination. But there is a time where God can suspend it. It's not all things you have to work for. And that's what you find out. We call the miracle called miracle of favor. It's not everything you have to work for. So these laws have been in place to help man live meaningful life. And these laws, let me tell you, they have no respect for where you come from. Daddy Joe said they are colorblind. They don't know a black man, they don't know a white man. They have no respect for which color you have. They work everywhere. Whether you're in Ghana or America, the same work. If you refuse to work in America, you'll be poor. If you refuse to work in Ghana, you'll be poor. Now, there are also two spiritual laws This what I said is just the laws within the earth, but there are two spiritual laws which also affect the earth realm. I'm going to mention them. I'm not explaining. Number one, the law of seed time and harvest time. It is also called the golden rule. Do you know the golden rule? I know most of you know it. Do unto others. Oh, help me. Do unto others what you expect others to what? Do unto you. It is a law. If you try, you pay the price. The Bible said, do not be deceived. Galatians chapter 6. For whatever a man soweth, he what? You reap. So in this earth realm, be very careful of what you do. Whatever you sow, you reap it. The golden rule. Whatever you do unto others, it will come to you. Another rule is the rule of association. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Say, be not deceived. Bad what? Company. Corrupt what? The word deceive over there is that you don't try to be smarter than the law. Don't try to be what? See, that is the deception people think. Don't try to be smarter than God. You are not smarter than God. Nor the laws he has put in place. If you have bad company, your character will surely be what? Corrupted. All these laws are in place, but there are times that God can suspend it. Sometimes you do certain things, and by the grace of God, God will suspend it for you. That is what we call the miracle of what? Salvation and deliverance. If the things you have done, if God should let them come back to you as harvest, do you think you'll be alive by now? So, these laws are there to carve in the earth realm, but God can suspend them for your sake. God can abolish them for your sake. God can speed them up for your sake. And whenever God does that, we call it what? Miracle. Now, what are the forms of miracle? Today it has been very slow, eh? Yes. I want you to get it very well. Some of you think that things just happen in vacuum. No. This earth is going by laws. These laws are neutral. They are colorblind. They work everywhere. So if you observe them, whether you are born again or not born again, it will work for you. That is why you go to the Arab countries and places, people are very rich and wealthy. See, they are observing the laws. The laws are working at their favor. It is meant to work for you. That's why I tell people that you don't need God to be financially prosperous. It's true. Just observing the laws of the system can prosper you. People can live long by just be observant to the laws of nature. That is why you get confused as a Christian, because you think that people who are not born again will be poor. You lie. They are even richer than you. You think that people who are not born again will die early. You lie. They live long. Why? They respect the laws that God placed in this earth realm to work. So we being born again, our advantage is not about this earth realm laws. Our advantage is what we have after life. And sometimes the miracles. So whilst they are working hard, following the process, sometimes God can suspend it for you. And that is where you have the super advantage over them. It's not that God has not respected the laws. Forms of miracle. There are two practically forms of miracle. Number one, we have what you call the passive miracles. Passive miracles are miracles that God do daily for us and we don't recognize them. They are not spectacular, but they are very supernatural. Let me help you. Not all miracles are spectacular, but every miracle of God is what? Supernatural. Can I give you a typical example so that you don't come to church and say God didn't perform a miracle in your life? One example is when you slept. Did you know what happened in the night? You know, it's a miracle to wake up. What did you do to wake up? Tell me. And do you remember the definition of miracle? Anything beyond the human power is a what? So tell me, what did you do to wake up intact? In fact, let me use the word intact. Do you know that people slept and woke up with sickness? These are passive miracles. They are not spectacular. So every day you come to church and you criticize God. I mean, I didn't get a miracle. The question is, how did you wake up today? You want spectacular miracles, but you're not even appreciating the passive ones.
Do you know the day that God will get angry and let the sun shift just one meter? Do you know you will bend completely? Or the day that God will pull the sun back a little, do you know that you freeze completely? But we don't appreciate it. You think it is your hard work that controlled the steering wheel that drove you to church? What if the driver had a muzzle pull? Sorry, Marshall. That is why we take this for granted. It may not be spectacular or extraordinary, but it's supernatural. It's a supernatural grace of God to sleep and wake up intact. Have you heard that there are terrors of night that wicked at night? Do you know how many demons were looking for a way to pounce on you in the night when you slept? Some of you sleep at places where you are surrounded by bushes. Some of you in your room, snakes are lying there with you. Scorpions. And they can be in the house with you for many years until one day God will expose them. The question is, when you slept at night, why didn't they bite you? Can we appreciate God for the passive miracles we receive every day? Before we start dreaming of the spectacular miracles. Some of you, the last time you went to hospital was the day you were born. In fact, some of you, the only injection that you took was a polio. Unless there is a vaccine that comes with an injection, you don't know what an injection is. You know how many injections people take in the day? They are not spectacular. But God always rebuked that devourer. That your little money, your little effort is not spent on drugs. God, we are all eating the same produce from the farm. But people will eat it and get ulcer. People will eat the same thing and will have all kinds of sickness. You are here, head to toe, everything fine. Please tell me, what did you do? Even the pure water you bought yesterday, do you know where it was produced from? They fed some Ebola and then filled it and brought it to you. You drank it and you are fine. You didn't get cholera. You are sitting here. But I don't know, it's a miracle. Now you are able to eat and the food didn't enter your esophagus to kill you. Because it is a normal thing that happens every day, we take it for granted. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of life. When I count the number of years I've spent on this earth and the number of times I've visited the hospital, it is a miracle. It is a miracle. I traveled head and toe, moving up and down. Every day we drive from Kasua, from one region to another region. From Central Region to Greater Accra. Every Sunday, every Wednesday. Sometimes we will see that this one, it is God who saved us. We can't take it for granted. If you don't give me the spectacular, oh God, I am grateful for the passive miracles. I am grateful that I slept and I woke up. And I was not counted among the dead ones this morning. I thank you, God, that I wrote WASI and I passed. Even though I didn't get the grade I wanted, I am still in the university. I thank you, God, that this semester I was able to get my school fees when all odds are against me. Even once the economy is collapsing. I thank God that at least I have found a place to sleep. Whilst people are still looking for accommodation. It's not by might. By strength shall no man prevail. What I become is because of God. So even if God has not given me 1 million naira in my account, $1 million in my account, 1 million Ghana cedis in my account, I know that a miracle happened to me today. And that miracle is that I'm able to walk and I stepped on a nail and it didn't enter my shoe. I'm able to walk and I didn't get a muzzle pull that broke me down. Many are the traps that the enemy set for us at night. Do you know the kind of arrangement that was done in the night for you to fall into it? But God, by divine interception, intercepted all. You wake up and you think that nothing happened. You can't even tell the time you slept. You can't even tell the time you wake up. Can you be appreciative this morning? Can you thank God for that passive miracles? That that miracle that from January to December, you don't know what, you don't have a hospital card. Some of you, you have never renewed your NHIS before, because it's a waste of money to you. When you have headache, all you need is water. As long as you empty one bottle of water or two sachets of water, you sleep, you woke up, you are fine. Can you thank God for these miracles? Can you thank God for these miracles? If we are to let the laws of this earth work on you, like by this time you are consuming this economy, but you wake up and have something to eat, or you think you had that job because you are too clever than everybody. Passive miracles are always taken for granted. But this morning, oh God, we are not ungrateful beings. We come before you, Lord, and we say we are grateful. Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we are grateful that you suspended certain laws for our sake. We are grateful that, Lord, you kept the sun where it's supposed to be. We are grateful that you've kept the sea where it's supposed to be. Just one tidal wave can wash away the entire country. We are not better than Turkey and Syria, who are still counting over thousands of deaths. Ghana is not better than them. We are not better than the countries that are plagued with war. This is a miracle from God. Can we appreciate God for all the miracles we think is not a miracle?
Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these miracles. We thank you for these miracles.
So some people think that it is their right to sleep and wake up. You think it's your right? God, nobody can question God. In the book of First Samuel chapter 2, verse 5, Hannah said, "It is God that killeth and God that giveth life." God can kill you. Nobody can question him. When you die, God does not cease to be who he is. It is not by right. This is a miracle. It's only a fool who think that waking up is by right. So you have to lift up your voice and thank God. How many house flies were jumping on that tomatoes you bought at the market? You just look at the conditions of the markets you go to in Ghana here, and the foodstuffs you buy. I don't think that even if you soak them in a soda, all the gems will be gone. We swallow all these gems day in and day out, yet still you are alive. Yet still you are not admitted in the hospital. You think it is by your works. Many rich people are careful of what they eat. In fact, they employ chefs and medical doctors to check the food they eat. Yes, the cancer takes them. Yes, the all kind of manner of sickness takes them. It is not him that will it. Neither it is him that run it. But it's God that showeth for mercy. For Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. By strength shall no man prevail. Father, we are grateful. We are not in need of only spectacular miracles to be appreciative of what you God have done. We are not waiting for spectacular miracles. Yes, you are looking for a job, you have not gotten it. You have been waiting on certain breakthrough, didn't come. That shouldn't be the reason why you shouldn't appreciate the little things that God has done for you that you do not deserve. That according to the laws of the time realm, you should suffer for it. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Spend your time. Go to Somalia. Go to Ethiopia. And see how people have grown lean because of no food. Lord. You woke up this morning. You had a clothes to wear. You had your two hands intact. Oh Jesus. We thank you for the miracles. We thank you for the miracles. In the mighty name of Jesus. So when we talk about miracles, don't be waiting for the spectaculars. You don't need to see a cripple walking for you know there's a miracle in our midst. Sometimes you wonder how that thing happened. It's beyond your power. It's beyond your power. See, I always say this. When I pass through Kasua Market and I'm coming to church, the kind of scent that hits me in the car, I wonder how God preserved Ghanaians. That kind of scent, if they sell in that scent for you, you should die. Some of you enjoy the watch at the gutter. Papa, is that not true? If we should put a microscope on the things we buy, you even what you have eaten, you want to vomit it out. But look at the miracle of God. Look at the miracle of God. You are alive. You are alive and not on a hospital bed. We thank God. Can we give a clap of offering unto the Lord? Now let's take one type of spectacular miracle, and then we will run out for the day. I know I've taken you through a good journey today to understand and appreciate miracles. So when we say that God has done a miracle in our, we have to appreciate miracles very well. Because it is not easy. Now we have to understand that miracles are performed by the hand of God. Whenever we engage the hand of God, all we see is miracle. Whenever God stretches his hand, it comes with miracles. Therefore, miracles are the works of God. Number one miracle, and the biggest miracle in the kingdom of God, which is beyond every other miracle, is the miracle of salvation and deliverance. In fact, this miracle, it takes God his outstretched arm. When it comes to casting of demons, it takes his finger. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. It's a miracle for a man to be born again. Salvation is a miracle. See, you ask yourself, what are the things that you say for people to receive Jesus Christ? It's a miracle. It's beyond human power. People cannot be. That's why Paul said, I didn't come to you by eloquent words of men. It doesn't save. Miracle. It takes miracle for somebody to be saved. Yes. Listen to what God said. Yes.
Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16.
Yeah.
I know your father and your mother.
Deuteronomy 5, 16.
Yes, please.
Oh, sorry. Psalm 136, verse 12.
Psalm 136, verse 12.
Yeah.
With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. For his mercy endures forever.
With a strong hand. And without an outstretched arm. Let's read Psalm 89, verse 13.
Psalm 89, verse 13.
Yeah.
You have a mighty arm.
Huh?
Strong is your hand.
Yeah.
And high is your right hand.
Ah. You have a hot, mighty arm. Strong is your hot,
your hand. And high is your right hand.
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 2.
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 2. Know today that I do not speak with your children, who who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God.
No. Deuteronomy 26, 8. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 8. Listen to what Moses said.
Deuteronomy 26, 8.
Yeah.
So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand.
With a what?
Mighty hand.
And what happened?
And with an outstretched arm.
With an outstretched arm.
With great terror.
With great terror.
And with signs and wonders.
With signs and wonders. The miracle of salvation is a product of the outstretched arm of God. God has to stretch his full arm and pull you out. Don't take your salvation for granted. It's a miracle. It is beyond human power. That is why it is not of works. It is what? Grace. There is nothing you can do to gain salvation by your human effort. What is holding you? The sin. That nature. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. Deliverance is the work of an outstretched arm. In Romans chapter 7, Paul was counting on his wretchedness. And he said, the things that I want to do, I do them not. But the things that I do not want to do is what I do. And on this note, I accept and I believe that the law or the nature of sin is stronger than I am. It takes the outstretched arm of God. Anything that God has done for you that went beyond your human power is a miracle. And number one is what? Salvation. You never did anything to have what you're having right now. Salvation is the biggest miracle for a person to be saved. That is why when God asks you to go and win soul, and you are able to win a soul for God, you have done the biggest miracle. It is more powerful than a cripple walking. It is more powerful than a blind seeing. For a man of his own will to yield to God. Even children, see how stubborn they are. Have you ever seen a child who is rebelling before? When they want to put on a dress, open it. It becomes a tug of war between that child and the mother. And a full grown man, to bow and yield to the will of God. That is a miracle. It takes the whole outstretched arm of God. If you want God to use you to work a miracle, one of the miracles you should desire is what? Winning souls. Because the kind of anointing and grace required to win a soul. No wonder the Bible says, when one soul repents, thousands of angels rejoices. Because it is the biggest miracle they can ever see. But we have a generation who is deceived to think that opening of the blind eyes is more important and a bigger miracle than preaching the gospel. You see why we can't preach the gospel? Because we don't know what it takes for somebody to be saved. Some of you, it took about 7 years for you to surrender to God. God started chasing you many years. Some of you, some of us. So if we think that any other thing we see around us is a greater miracle, the splitting of the Red Sea is not comparable. How many plagues did it take God to save the people of Israel from Egypt? Damn. That is a shadow of the reality. God never exercised any 10 plague on any other person to bring forth anything except Egypt to save the people of Israel. Show me in the Bible where God plagued a place with 10 plagues to be able to save people apart from Egypt. Look at the plagues. Boil. Water turning red. You see, the devil is stubborn. Don't try. That's why I say it's a miracle. How many of you see a water turning into blood and still be stubborn? So when we organize crusade, that's what, when you invest, that's why it needs a lot of money to win souls. We'll be going to Mampong for crusade. I know some of you have seen the budget. We're talking of almost 50,000 Ghana cedis.
Yes. So the biggest miracle ever living on this earth you can ever do is to win a soul. Do I have a soul winner here? Do I have a soul winner here? I want to pray for you. As you leave this place, may you receive the grace of God to perform the biggest miracle. I pray for you that by next week, you will come here with a testimony that through you, the biggest miracle of God was performed. That a hardcore criminal, stubborn, hardened man bowed to the gospel. I pray for you that your desire to work miracles will start with winning souls for God. Because it takes the outstretched arm of God to win a soul. It is my prayer that when you go back home today, your desire is that you stretch forth your hand in prayer. Mandila kabasukata. There is no miracle bigger than the miracle of seeing people turning to God. There is no miracle bigger than the miracle seeing people be broken by the gospel of God. So Paul said, when I came unto you, I didn't come by the enticing words of men, but by the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be in the words of man's wisdom, but in the power of God. We have to understand what we call miracle. And soul winning is a miracle. I pray for you. May God use you. May God use you. May God use you as a channel. As a channel of soul winning. This week, may you go out there and perform a spectacular miracle where a man or a woman will bow to the gospel. May you go out there and perform a spectacular miracle when people will run to the saving power of God. I pray for you. Henceforth, wherever you stand to declare the gospel, may it be packed with miracle. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 10 downwards that God packed them with miracle. God packed them with miracle as they share the gospel. May you receive this miracle. May you go out there and release miracle until we have learned to perform the greatest miracle. We can't do the least ones. I release you into the miracle of soul winning. Into the miracle of soul winning. Into the miracle of soul winning. May the Lord touch your tongue right now. May the Lord touch your tongue right now. May you be purified with the fire of God. May God touch your tongue right now. That you will speak the word of God. That will slay the heart of men. As the people said unto Peter, didn't our hearts jump in us? Men and women, what we ought to do. May God use you. May God use you. I release you as a vessel of miracle working. The Bible said there are many vessels in the house of God, but they that purge themselves who be for the use of the master. I pray may God use you just as he used Moses to bring deliverance unto the people of Israel. I declare in the name of Jesus that from today your family will see the deliverance of God because you are there. From today your family will see the deliverance of God. Your classmates will see the deliverance of God. Your roommates will see the deliverance of God because God is about to use you to do the greatest miracle ever. The greatest miracle ever, which is that men will turn unto God. It doesn't matter how stubborn men have become. It doesn't matter how the atmosphere has become dark and plagued by the hardness of men. You are going with the fire of God. You are going in the might of God. And you will perform a miracle. I release you into that miracle. The spectacular miracle of God, which is the winning of soul. The greatest miracle ever to happen. I release you into it. Somebody receive it. I declare that from today, whatever comes out of your mouth shall bring salvation. Shall bring salvation. Shall bring salvation to the soul of man. Shall bring salvation to the spirit of man. Shall bring salvation to the flesh of man. I declare that may God use you to break the chains. To break the chains. To break the chains of oppression. To break the chains of pornography. And may God use you. Makataya, to break the chains of sickness. May God use you to deliver men from captivity in the name of Jesus. Any man or woman held under the attack of the devil, I declare from tonight and from this very morning, God will use you to bring salvation.
Can you be on your feet? I see God using you. I want you to go back home today and appreciate everything God has done for you. And I want you to go back home today under the anointing of God, that you will perform the greatest miracle ever. We are called unto miracles. We are called unto miracles. As we saw in the book of Hebrews, the evidence of we being the carrier of the gospel is that miracles back us. And the greatest miracle is that the soul is won. I pray today, from today, you will be a miracle working man. You will be a miracle working woman. That out of you, out of your belly, will flow the true water of God that will bring liberation unto men. If God is taking you out of Ghana to study, may God send you as an apostle to bring salvation unto people. When God is sending you out of this country to work, may you go out there as a miracle working man and woman, drawing men unto God. Oh Father, we thank you. We want to pray that may God release the atmosphere of miracle, that this year many will be won in the kingdom, many will be drawn to the kingdom. We want to believe God for the miracle of salvation in this area, in this place we belong to. May this atmosphere be set with the miracle of salvation. We are believing God for the miracle of salvation on the land of Lagos, on the land of UPSA, in Medina, in Accra. We declare miracle, the miracle of salvation, 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 in the mighty name of Jesus. So Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the miracle. We thank you for all the miracles you've done in our life. We thank you that for our sake you suspended the laws of this earth so that you can invade time for our sake. We pray that you will continue to perform miracles in our life. We pray for continuity of your miracles in our life. We pray for the spectacular. We pray for the passive. Lord, we also pray that you will use us as tools of performing your miracles. We pray that this atmosphere will be charged with your miracle of salvation. Stretch forth your arm, O Lord, over this vicinity. Stretch forth your arm over the land of Lagos. Stretch forth your arm over the land of UPSA, that many will be saved. Use us, O Lord, to break the heart of men, that they will bow unto your gospel. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. Can we give a clap offering unto the Lord?
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.